You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following program is a special New Year's presentation of the Lutheran Hour. This past year has seen more than its share of natural disasters. 1993 will be remembered as the year of the Great Midwestern Flood and brush fires in California. It was a year that also brought drought, the threat of hurricanes, tornadoes, and other natural disasters. Hi, I'm Dr. Dale Meyer. Today, we'll hear the thoughts and feelings of people who have successfully dealt with these kinds of situations and who now have words of comfort and hope to share with those who might be facing their own disasters. A disaster doesn't have to involve the wholesale destruction of an entire city. 1993 was also a time of catastrophic personal disasters. Divorce, cancer, unemployment, depression, hopelessness. Maybe you're going through this kind of disaster right now. The winds of your private disaster may still be whirling around you. You're wondering, will things ever be all right again? You've heard the old saying, any port in a storm? Well, we'd like to show you that God is your best place of safety in times of trouble. In Homestead in South Dade County, Florida, we talked with people who experienced Hurricane Andrew. Now, 16 months later, they speak from the perspective of time and healing. In story after story, we were encouraged to hear how God protected people during the storm and has continued to help and strengthen them in the months since. Their stories mean hope for you, too, no matter what kind of disaster you're facing today. First, an update on a more recent disaster. Sandy Bronson and her husband, Reverend Robert Bronson, live in LaGrange, Missouri, a small town on the Mississippi River. For a while last summer, LaGrange was in the Mississippi River. Sandy Bronson tells what it's been like in LaGrange since the flood.
Well, here in LaGrange, it came up, covered a couple of our streets, and we probably lost 35 homes and several businesses. In our area where we're close to the West Quincy area, where the levees broke and cut us off from Illinois, I believe there's like some 20-some levees and only two or three that stayed put. Several towns, whole towns in our area have been lost.
This was on the news quite a bit during the summer and the early months of fall, but then it receded and other things captured the national interest. How have the people been coping with it in all these months since the floods?
It's been long. Starting out, I think the spirits were high and there was a closeness. Everybody really pitched in and quite an emotional time, and now the emotions have almost like frustration, kind of lost again. But then there's this renewed for some where rebuilding is starting, where others can't rebuild. It's really mixed emotion right now.
Those mixed emotions are a normal part of disaster recovery. The people who went through Hurricane Andrew experienced the same thing. Hurricane Andrew was the costliest and most destructive natural disaster in U.S. history. At 4 o'clock in the morning of August 24th, 1992, with 145 mile per hour winds, the full force of Hurricane Andrew struck Dade County, Florida, south of Miami. Andrew cut a path of destruction 30 miles wide, causing $30 billion worth of damage. The cities of Perrine and Homestead were especially hard hit. The storm killed 41 people, destroyed 47,000 homes, and damaged 53,000 others. Leticia Godoy is immigration director for World Relief in Miami. Her husband Roberto is an attorney. They came to the United States from Cuba and live now in Kendall, Florida, which was on the northern edge of the storm's path. Leticia describes what it was like as the storm began its rampage.
Half an hour after we heard the first winds sound, the telephone rings, and it was my mother. She was calling me from her home that it's like, I would say, 6 miles from here, no, mother?
Yeah, 6 miles.
And she was telling me, honey, I'm afraid the hurricane has broken the windows of the house. The rain is coming in. The wind is blowing into the house. We have sought refuge in the bathroom. But the water is coming from underneath the door. It's coming into the bathroom, I'm afraid. And I said, Mother, well, I can't do anything right now. You know, it's the middle of a storm. As soon as it's over, I'll be over there. When I finished talking to her, I just bowed my head. And then I said a little prayer. I said, Lord, take care of them.
Like many others in Dade County that night, Letitia's mother and father were riding out the storm in the most sheltered room they could find. Letitia's mother describes what she was thinking after calling her daughter.
Nothing they could do, but then I thought, Lord, you are the only one, so have mercy upon us. And that was the only thing I could say. Mercy, mercy, mercy.
Letitia's son-in-law is Manuel Sanchez.
We were all in the bathroom. My mother was sitting in the bathtub with the baby. I had my back against one of the walls in the bathroom. I could literally feel the wall shake, and I knew the bedroom had been blown out. You knew at any moment you were going to go home.
Many people tell stories of miraculous protection. In Perrine, Evelio Cruz and 15 members of his family were all together in one house as the storm approached.
As 1 o'clock came in, we were all by a window on the west side of the house, just looking outside. We were still able to look because it wasn't that strong, and we were seeing things fly across the road, and the fence just fold over like it was paper. The trees bend over like straws. Everybody wanted to see through the window, and got to the point where we had to cut that out. You know, it was almost like being in a theater at the time. And I think still we didn't take it quite seriously, you know. Until closely, like around 2:30 or 3, her older sister, Alma, her two kids were sleeping in the far room. They were to the south end of the house. And that's when everything really began. She came running out to us to say, get my kids, because the glass sliding doors were starting to bend over. I mean, breathe like it was alive. So I ran in the room with someone else. I think it was Lewis that helped me. They were asleep, we picked them up, and as soon as we took them out of the room, this is for real, as soon as we just got out, the glass just exploded into the room, and I know if they were there, they would have been seriously injured.
For many people, their place of refuge became a place of prayer.
You refocus yourself, you're not thinking about me, you're not thinking about your circumstance, you're thinking on God. Despite the drama of what was going around us was worsening, because you kept on hearing things crashing. You'd hear an occasional person scream. It was very dark. The lights were out. You didn't know what was going on. For all you know, it was your home that was falling apart, or could it be a neighbor's. And you were literally powerless. On the radio, they were saying, police can't come. Fire people can't come. We cannot get to you at this point. You're going to have to wait until it's over. All the things that society depends upon to keep it together were gone. Therefore, at that moment, you only had one connection, and that was you and your God.
How would you react to all of this? Would you blame God? Manuel Sanchez tells of a neighbor who did just that.
One of my neighbors, I don't know him personally, was from across the building. The rains started. And of course, everyone's roof was damaged. And so as if the storm wasn't bad enough, then the rain started coming in and you started getting yourself washed out. And I know I watched through my window and I saw him stand outside and he watched the rain and then he clenched his fist in the air and yelled out a curse to heaven. And I said, you know, I just sat down and I just said, Lord, forgive him. He doesn't know what he's doing. That's the wrong attitude. You can't walk out and see it's all gone. Oh my God, my farm's gone, my home's gone. I have nothing left. I'm uninsured. I was uninsured. I did not have insurance in my home. So it was doubly difficult coming back.
The eye of Hurricane Andrew passed directly over the city of Perrine, Florida. During the storm, 100 residents of a nursing home had taken refuge inside Mount Olive Lutheran Church. They crawled under the pews and beneath the altar as Andrew pushed at the church's front door like a battering ram and lifted off part of the roof. Even though Mount Olive was heavily damaged by the storm, it became the focal point for a relief effort, which continues even today.
Okay, remember that this one here is for you, to let you know that the repairs is more than 50% of the value of the house, they will not do the job.
Disaster recovery isn't always a smooth process. Teresita Rodriguez, works in the office of Lutheran Disaster Response, located in a trailer on Mount Olive's parking lot. Teresita answers the phone and counsels people who need help. She comments on how people's attitudes have changed in the months since the hurricane.
In the beginning, it was easy because the people just asked for water and food, a small thing, you know, that thing you can provide. And they was very, hopefully, everything going to be right. And thank God we are alive. We lose everything, but thank God we are alive. Now they blame the contractor, they blame God, they blame everybody because they are still living in the trailers and the half house, the small house we make in the back of the house. Nobody, nothing looks like it's going to be the same anymore.
One of Teresita's co-workers at Lutheran Disaster Response is construction coordinator John Patrick. He first came to Florida as a pilot for Eastern Airlines. Now, John is responsible for supervising the work of various contractors on as many as 17 to 24 different construction sites.
Stress levels run very high. Some people have multiple disasters from the disaster. The worst possible thing to let happen would be to let the disaster cause another disaster in your life. And then we've seen that where, the disaster itself will maybe bring about a loss of employment. That's a tragic result of the disaster. What would be worse if you let that loss of employment lead to a drinking or an alcohol abuse problem or a marital problem? Disasters have a way of creeping into your life and causing the stress levels to go higher, and you vent them without knowing it a certain ways, and you may be abusing a spouse or abusing alcohol or a drug or a number of ways to try to just deal with that stress or try to settle that stress, and that could lead to another tragic disaster. And that's, I guess, be aware of it. Be aware that you're always going to try to vent this somehow, some way, and pay attention to your family and pay attention to yourself. And if you have a home church, seek your pastor out first, I would say.
The people at Mount Olive have also learned what it means to be part of the whole Christian church. They offer their sincere thanks for the help they receive from Christians all over the world. Mount Olive's pastor is Reverend William Reagan.
When we rededicated our building about 6 months after the storm, we had placed all over the church letters that we received. And at that time, it was about 800 letters that we had received. Every one of them had a check from people all over. Children, adults, Sunday schools, tremendous number of people who wrote letters of comfort to our people. And we had them splattered all over the place here. People would walk around for a half hour at a time just reading one or another. And I think that brought out to us in an unmistakable way that we really are the body of Christ.
Dr. Meyer and his guests will be back in just a moment. You're listening to A New Year, A New Beginning, a special presentation of the Lutheran Hour. We'd like you to see how faith in Christ brings freedom from fear. We'd like to send you a free copy of our new booklet titled No Need to Fear. For your free copy, just call the Lutheran Hour toll-free at 1-800-876-9880 or write The Lutheran Hour, St. Louis, Missouri, 63139. And now, once again, here is Dr. Dale Meyer. In these disasters, the church was there. I don't mean the church buildings, some of which were used for shelters, others were destroyed. But the church was there in these disasters because the people of the church, the people of God, were there. They weren't the only ones, to be sure. Relief groups like the Red Cross and individual volunteers were there too. But scattered through all these thousands and thousands of volunteers were the people of the church. Working shoulder to shoulder with strangers, they helped do the things that needed to be done. They wanted to share safety with others because they found safety for themselves in the church. The safety that the people of the church have is the safety of Jesus Christ. He says in John 6:37, "The person who comes to me, I will never turn away." Whatever these true Christians did in disaster relief, meals, shelter, sandbags, donations, whatever, they did it out of devotion to Christ, who has given them an eternal safety. In small ways, in big ways, they wanted to share that sense of safety. It's not unlike the days of Noah and the Great Flood. As Genesis 6 tells it, society had become so sinful that God decided to send a disastrous flood. But before sending the flood, God wanted the people to turn from their old ways and make a new beginning with Him. He really didn't want to destroy the people. He wanted to save them. Noah and his family, just like everyone else, would have been wiped out had they not accepted God's invitation to safety. God told Noah, "Build an ark," and Noah did. Talk about faith. It made no sense to build an ark, but Noah believed that his future safety lay in God's ark. Not only did Noah build the ark, he also offered its safety to others. Ah, but that old world was too busy with day-to-day pursuits to be concerned about safety in some ark. Besides, the stuff Noah was talking about didn't seem to be the most pressing problem in their lives or in society anyway. Crazy old Noah. Look at him building that ark. You hear Noah talking about God judging sin? I've seen Noah commit a few sins himself. What makes him think he's any better than the rest of us? Well, Noah's right when he says there's bad things in our society, but an ark isn't the answer. I suspect people said such things. They say the same things today about the church. They talk about sin, those church people do, but I see what they do during the week. I'll grant you the churches do some good things, but our biggest problems are here and now, not way off in eternity. So it goes. The same old criticisms of God's people that were no doubt heard in Noah's day. People continue to be too preoccupied with the here and now to change their way of living and seek safety in the ark or in the church. But one thing is different today, and you should thank God for it. When the wind and water came in Noah's day, the door of the ark was closed, and all perished except Noah and his family. When the wind and waters came from Hurricane Andrew and the Midwestern floods, the hearts of church people were open, because God has not yet shut the door on this generation. The church, the people of God, people saved by Jesus Christ to have a hope and a future, people with safety to share, their door is still open. When you enter the fellowship of the church, you'll learn about an eternal safety. True, the disaster may have swept away your home, your business, life as you knew it. It was the same for Noah. His home and former life were swept away. But remember, the ark always rode above the disaster of the flood. Just like the ark, the church always rides above disasters, the disasters of the past and the disasters yet to come. It's also true that church folks don't always do everything right. They've got their faults, and some of those faults stand in stark contradiction to the message of the church. But remember, Noah and his families in the ark were also sinners who didn't always live the way they ought. But the point is that they were in the ark. They were safe. They were saved by God's forgiving goodness. The people in the fellowship of the church are safe, saved by God's forgiveness to repentant sinners. The reason the fellowship of the church is such a safe place is because of the head of the church, Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. He loves us and poured out His blood on Calvary's cross to free us from our sins. He has made the church His kingdom, whose members shall serve and praise Him and God the Father forever. That's why the fellowship of Christ Church is the safest place to ride out every storm of your life. And do you want to know where the future is? The future lies with the Christian church. The future is not with the church because of its members, sinners that they are, forgiven sinners that they are. The future lies with the Christian church because of Jesus Christ, the first of the dead to live again and the ruler over the kings of the earth. Do you want this year to be a new beginning in your life? Or do the words Happy New Year simply mean one more installment of the same old things? Unlike the door of the ark, the door of Christ's church is still open to you. Within it, you'll find a fellowship of forgiveness for the past and hope for the future. Within the church, you'll find a safety that will rise above all the storms of your life. A new year! Make it a new beginning. Everyone who deals with disaster brings something different away from the experience. Here are more of their thoughts on what Hurricane Andrew has meant and what they learned. One of the members of Mount Olive's Sunday morning Bible class is Don Moore.
I found out that I really didn't need any possessions. I could do without them, and I wasn't hurt by losing them. It was okay that I lost everything, because I still had what I needed.
With his family gathered around him in their rebuilt home, Evelio Cruz offers this word of advice.
Whoever's going to listen to this, and you don't know me, but don't give up. You know, there is a God, and He loves us, and He's there for us, no matter what.
In a small storefront at the corner of a shopping center, Reverend Gustavo Puerto runs the Miami contact office of Cristo para Todas las Naciones, one of our ministries to Spanish-speaking people. He says the storm has given the church an unprecedented opportunity.
Everybody help, and I think the Christians have a really wonderful opportunity to demonstrate to the world we are one and we love people, and we stay here to serve, not to be served.
Darlene Damon is the church secretary at Mount Olive. The hurricane answered some important questions for her.
I know. We spent the hurricane in the bathroom watching the roof lifting up and down off our house, and it was so neat to me because at one point I really thought we were going to lose the roof and that we stood a chance of dying. And this voice said to me, Darlene, I didn't help you quit smoking 6 weeks ago just to kill you in a hurricane. My big thing, I read about the New World Order, that type of thing, and I always wondered, could I survive without air conditioning, without running water? God, will I be able to bear up in the time of testing? And so to me, the hurricane was an absolute blessing because I found out, yes, with God's help, I can make it. As long as I rely on Him, it doesn't matter whether I have doors or windows. It doesn't matter whether I have water or electricity. He gets me through. And I have just always, my heart's gone out to people that don't know the Lord, because how do they get through these things?
Letitia Godoy and her family now have an even greater appreciation of prayer.
The Lord has been with me all through my life. Remember, I'm a refugee. So I have also lost things before. And through the years, the Lord has been by my side, giving me comfort and helping me. And as I said, He gave me that comfort, that confidence, don't worry, nothing is going to happen. And nothing did happen, because all through this tragedy, we have been blessed.
Pastor William Reagan summed up the greatest lesson he and his congregation learned. He says they came to know in a very special way that God is the Creator, and that He's the creator of the natural order as well. In His wisdom and providence, God makes and unmakes even hurricanes, and we need to glorify Him for that as well. Somehow or other, in unimaginable and really wonderful ways, God does work His will, even through powerful storms. He teaches us to love Him, to serve Him, to depend on Him. He teaches us what it really means to be the body of Christ, and God teaches us how to be truly grateful for the gifts He has given us. We'd like to thank the following individuals and groups for their help. Mount Olive Lutheran Church of Perrine, Florida. Reverend William Reagan and the adult Bible class of Mount Olive. Mr. and Mrs. Benito Perez. Darlene Damon. Lutheran Disaster Response, Teresita Rodriguez and John Patrick, Carmen Cortez, Evelio Cruz and family, Letitia Godoy and family, Reverend Gustavo Puerto and the Miami office of Cristo para Todas las Naciones. Thank you. Once again, Dr. Dale Meyer speaks with Reverend Robert and Sandy Bronson, who join us by telephone from their home in LaGrange, Missouri.
We're at the start of a brand new year here, Pastor. On the basis of what you've experienced, both with human nature and also the love of God that is active in the service of Christians one to another, what would you say to people at the start of a new year? What should they expect?
I would say to them that in light of what has happened throughout this period of devastation, the love that's been shown, the renewed hope, and then the fulfillment of the people's desires to return home, be reestablished again, that even though the things that one time looked so bleak, as we look beyond into the future, 1994 and beyond, that even at times when things may look bleak and totally helpless, to reflect back at what happened during this period of flood and be assured that God is faithful and He will meet all our needs above and beyond what we might ask or think.
Mrs. Bronson, tell me, did the disaster bring any blessings?
Oh, yes. wonderful, wonderful new Christian friends from all over the country have come in here, and we've gotten to work with them and share with them.
Could you tell me about some of the routine problems that keep coming up over and over again in the recovery from a disaster?
For a lot of people, there's this constant worry of where all those supplies are going to come from, how they're going to pay for. Insurance has been slow at coming in. Adjusters have been slow about coming in. Promises have been made. Promises have been changed. Promises have been broken. If it weren't for the churches and all the churches working together here in LaGrange, especially if you ask anybody in town to wait for insurance, to wait for the government's help to come in here, they wouldn't be this far at all. It's because of the people working through the churches that this town has rebuilt and has cleaned up.
Do the people have a sense of anxiety, fear over not having their physical necessities met, over what might happen in the future?
Initially, they may have. But now, you know, because, as Sandy said, but while they were waiting on their insurance man or FEMA or whoever it is, the church community, Lutheran, Methodist, and the other bodies of church bodies that have sent volunteers, we've got the work done without the government, without the insurance people, through their volunteer efforts and through monies that have come directly to this community to be used for helping the people.
The greatest promises of all are, of course, the promises that God makes to us in the gospel. How does that apply to the future, especially when you think of the governmental promises and the insurance promises that haven't necessarily been kept? How does God's word of promise help people face the future?
Well, as has been demonstrated here through these Christian volunteers, that even in the face of whatever the future might hold, they can see from what has happened to them that God has remained faithful regardless of what the world might say.
I want to thank you both, Pastor and Mrs. Bronson, for being with us today. We appreciate this update on the disaster recovery that's going on in your corner of God's good earth, and we certainly wish you and your congregation all the blessings of God and His Holy Spirit in this new year. 1994 promises to be a better year, and not necessarily in a material or financial way, but certainly as God's Word continues to pour out its blessings.
We hope this program has brought you a message of hope and encouragement for the new year. This has been a special presentation of the Lutheran Hour, brought to you by Lutheran Hour Ministries.